In my last message, we journeyed together to the foot of the awful mount, Mount Sinai. There, we heard anew the divine declaration, Anochi Adonai Elohecha, Asher Hotzeitiacha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. I am the Lord your God's, which brought you from the land of Egypt. We were struck, you will remember, with the unexpected employment of the plural noun in the Hebrew word, translated into English by the word God. Actually, the literal translation of this Hebrew scripture is, I am the Eternal, your God's, which brought you from the land of Egypt. We observe this use of the plural in the very opening words of Genesis, and the phenomenon is observable throughout the Hebrew Bible. For instance, we have another remarkable use of the plural in relation to the Godhead in the book of Malachi, where, at chapter 1, verse 6, the deity is depicted in vocal remonstrance with reluctant Israel as follows. Ve'im av ani, aye chavodi, ve'im adonim ani, aye morai. Let me give you a literal translation of these unusual words. And remember, God himself is here indicated as being the speaker. And if I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am masters, where is my reverence? Permit me to disclose another little-known fact in this same category. As I turn the pages of my Hebrew Bible, printed in the newborn state of Israel so recently as 1953, I read therein the words of Kohelet, as recorded in the Hebrew text of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 1. Uzechor et bora'eacha, bimei behuroteacha. Remember thy creators in the days of thy youth. In the Bible, there are 2,555 uses of the plural noun Elohim, of which no less than 2,310 occurrences pertain to the living and only true God, of whom it can surely be said that no noun in the singular could ever hope to convey sufficiently either his power or his person. Yes, the noun in the plural is as appropriate as the verb in the singular with which it is generally associated. In previous messages, we have noted the grammatical monstrosity of this association of the plural noun with the singular verb where God is concerned. Now, surely, we begin to observe the perfect harmony in this inharmony, the exquisite concord in this discord. Our great teacher, Moses, is one to whom we shall be eternally indebted for his superlative faithfulness in transmitting to us the full and glorious rays of the great revelation vouchsafed to him at Mount Sinai. Yet I am persuaded that the veneration we rightly accord his consoling person is less than the veneration we accord his commanding pronouncement, by which I mean that Moses' affirmation is of even greater importance than Moses' advent. At a time when Israel, and all humanity indeed, were imperiled by the pagan notions of polytheism on the one extreme and Unitarianism on the other extreme, Moses, by divine provision, issued an affirmation which, properly understood, is a kind of secret weapon against these pagan intruders. Listen again to Moses' superlative affirmation. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. How familiar is this call in the ears of Israel? But are we all quite as familiar with its efficacy as a secret weapon against the misleading extremes of multiplicity and singularity to which I have already referred? The perils of polytheism, the notion and worship of any plurality of gods, was a peril perpetually pressing upon Israel, a peril to which they frequently succumbed, and which, ultimately, led to their undoing in past ages. If only they had heeded Moses' affirmation. Does polytheism threaten? Then, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. The God of Israel is one, not a multiplicity. Awakened to the pitfalls of polytheism, do we tend, as most of us humans do, to fly to the other extreme and be trapped by the equally pagan snare of Unitarianism? Then, Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the gods of Israel is one, not a singularity. That there is a difference between oneness and singularity, I shall now hope to indicate. Singularity implies one only, one separate, one alone, one solitary. There is a Hebrew adjective which describes this condition. It is yachid. As a point of interest and instruction, the actual adjective yachid, in its masculine form, without affirmatives or preformatives, is used only three times in Tanakh, namely Jeremiah 6:26, Amos 8:10, and Psalm 25:16. Isaac Lisa translates yachid into English by the words only and solitary, and the fact that it is employed in Bereshit, chapter 22, to describe Avraham's only son, Yitzchak, and in Judges 11:34, to describe Yiftach's only daughter, associated with the impetuous vow he made, is sufficient indication of the idea the adjective yachid is intended to convey, quite apart from the fact that the word yachid is the word used in Hebrew grammar to denote the singular number. Never do the scriptures employ this word for the eternal God. On the contrary, the adjective employed is echad, and although it is translated by the English word one, it is derived from achod, a prime root meaning to unify or to collect. The word could be used in such a figurative expression as to collect one's thoughts. Even in modern Hebrew, the word echad has not lost this connotation, because in my Hebrew dictionary, printed in Israel in 1949, the English adjective collective is translated by the Hebrew word mu'had. Of course, the word echad can be used in a sense similar to that of yachid, but the important difference is that whereas echad can contain all that is implicit in yachid, yachid cannot contain all that is implicit in echad. The quart vessel can contain the pint content, but the pint vessel cannot contain the quart content. One illustration ere I close. In the days of Joseph, as recorded in the 41st chapter of Bereshit, Pharaoh had two dreams, one about corn and the other about kine. And these two dreams were of such individual singularity as to be separated by a period of wakefulness. Yet, Joseph referred to these dreams as Echad, one. Pharaoh's two separate and distinct dreams, expressed in two separate and distinct terms, and further separated by a definite period of wakefulness, are nevertheless scripturally declared to be Echad. Joseph could have declared unto Pharaoh, Shema Paro, Halom Halomotenu Halom Echad. Hear, O Pharaoh, the dream, our dreams, the dream is one. Unity, oneness, but not singularity, is the character of Pharaoh's dream. Unity, oneness, but not singularity, is the character of Israel's God. Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'hunecha, Yisar Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.